Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, August 21st, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 40, the third paragraph, in this frame of mind, through one paragraph ending, not a cloud on the horizon. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, EDH, 12 Traditions, Nancy DM. Readers of the text are Kara L., Eileen M., and Luann C. The reference number for Tuesday, August 20th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,671. That's 21671. And for this morning, Wednesday, August 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,677. That's 21677. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Carla C., and Jody E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask EDH to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is EDH from Alabama reading the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one. We admitted that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, EDH. And I'll now ask Nancy DM to read the 12 traditions of OA. Star one, Nancy.
Good morning. I'm Nancy DM from Pennsylvania. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy DM. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 40, the third paragraph. In this frame of mind, through one paragraph ending, not a cloud on the horizon. Commenting on this one paragraph today, I'll now ask Kara L. to read and then share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. In this frame of mind, I went about my business, and for a time, all was well. I had no trouble refusing drinks and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard of work of a simple matter. One day I went to Washington to present some accounting evidence to a government bureau. I'd been out of town before during this particular dry spell, so there was nothing new about that. Physically, I felt fine. Neither did I have any pressing problems or worries. My business came off well. I was pleased and knew my partners would be too. It was the end of a perfect day. Not a cloud on the horizon. Good morning, this is Kara L. from California. When I read this, I think of a couple things. One thing, it thinks of like when things are going well, that's when my self starts to rise. You know, my ego, oh, I got this. Things are easy. You know, the line, I began to wonder if I'd not been making too hard work of a simple matter, right? You know, I used to think, oh, you compulsively eat because your life is difficult. You had a hard childhood, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, once I got recovered, I figured out that I compulsively eat because that's who I am. I'm a compulsive eater. And so it doesn't really matter if the day is going well, the day is going poorly. What matters is, am I in self or is my ego down and am I looking for inspiration, intuition from my higher power? That's the difference. Because once I've stopped putting the alcoholic foods into my body, then it's my brain that says things are okay. It's my brain that says that, you know, you got to work hard and you got to make everything happen, right? So how do I combat that? Well, I have to stay in the steps every day. No, I don't get to skip my morning meditation or gratitude list. No, I don't, you know, I'm too tired to go to that morning meeting. No, I don't get to skip that. Oh, being a, you know, doing service on the meeting, it's okay if I don't do service next month. No big deal. It is a big deal, right? All those moments in the day that I have to stop and connect and remind myself, no matter how the day is going, I'm not in charge. You know, a power greater than myself is in charge. And that's the work I do on a daily basis, is to remind myself of that and to ask for help. And with that, I pass. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from everybody.
Thank you so much, Kara L. What a great way to get us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Susan Lee, Los Angeles.
Susan G, Georgia.
Susan G, and I didn't get the other names, I'm sorry. Who is from
Jackie
Georgia?
Jackie D, as in delightful.
Jackie
Laura
D.
S. Eileen M.
Laura S. Eileen
Susan M.
Vicky T.
Eileen M. And, okay, so I have Susan G., Jackie D., Laura S., Eileen M., and who else?
Susan M.
Who M? Who had the initial
Susan
M?
Susan M. from Florida.
Susan M., very good.
Linda G. from Alabama.
Linda G.
Not sure if you got Vicky T.
Vicky T., I did not. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a fantastic lineup. I have Susan G., Jackie D., Laura S., Eileen M., Susan M., Linda G., and Vicky T. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's start with Susan G. Please go ahead, get us started, followed by Jackie D.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you, Cara, for getting us started and everyone else who is giving service this morning. Oh, so here comes that subtle insanity that we discussed in the last paragraph. And I thought about when he said it was the end of a perfect day. When I was on a diet, there was no perfect day. My mind was crazy. I was always thinking, how can I get out of this? How can I get some? What can I do? And I could go about my business for a while because I was losing weight. I was very overweight. It felt good. People noticed. But I knew deep down in my soul, because that acorn had been planted, I'd heard the words, I'd read some of these chapters or heard you speak of them in meetings. Let's be honest, I wasn't really reading them. And I knew I couldn't stay stopped. Those dry spells never lasted for that long. They lasted longer if I'd spent more money. And God just kept tapping on my shoulder, saying, girlfriend, this is, you know what you need to do. And I couldn't fully concede. I couldn't fully concede. So some of the dry spells were better than others, absolutely. But my head, the inside of me was in ruin. Until, you know, somebody sat me down and said, this is it, you need to do this. As a friend always says, a responsible member of Overeaters Anonymous. And with them and with the help of God, you know, I was able to have some really lovely days. I'm not going to use the word perfect because everybody's, you know, will think of that in a different way. But I have had some gorgeous, amazing days, months, years over these last 25 years. And it's thanks to places like this meeting where we really go through and study this book. So if you are new, welcome. If you're struggling, welcome. We saved your seat and we will never give it away. Thank you, Dawn. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Jackie D., it's your turn, followed by Laura S.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jackie D. from Georgia. Thank you all for being here for me this morning, and thank you for being here for me every single morning. You know, this paragraph just made me think of so many things. It really made me think about, as has been mentioned before, you know, diet. I get to the diet, and I think, oh, this is like it for me. You know, this is like, for me, that was the horizon. You know, when I get on a diet and I stick to the diet for more than 2 weeks, and I lose the weight, and I'm just feeling so wonderful about myself. Not thinking about the fact that, you know, this is like the 100th diet that I've tried in the past, I don't know, 6 months almost, you know? So it's just like that awakening. This paragraph awakens in me that feeling of there is no perfect diet, that there is no happy moment when I am dieting. The happiest moments in my life have been these past 2.5 years where I have found a spiritual connection. You know, when I can go to a place and present myself and present my business or present whatever I need to present and know that when I'm done there, I can go back to a hotel, a room, wherever, and be abstinent. You know, that is my comfort. That is my perfectness. That is my cloud on the horizon. I have a connection with my higher power that enables me to have these moments of clarity, these moments of sanity, these moments where happiness, joyous, and free are part of my life. And I feel so blessed to be able to do that. I feel fine every day. Not every day is perfect, but every day is great because I'm not in the food. You know, every day is great because I have a connection with my higher power. Matter of fact, every day is perfect because I have a connection with my higher power. And so I just feel blessed that I have this program and that I have tools and I have moments of clarity, moments of sanity, and just lots and lots of moments of joy because I'm not in the food. So once again, I thank you all for being here for me and thank you for letting me share. I hope you all have a marvelous Wednesday. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jackie D. from Georgia. Laura S., it's your turn, followed by Eileen M.
Hi, everyone. My name is Laura F., and I'm from Connecticut. And I don't know, I guess no coincidences, you know. I woke into a beautiful day coming home from Cape Cod and, you know, thinking everything is fine and, you know I have a lot to do ahead of me. Things were a little squirrely at breakfast, but the whole week I was abstinent, no problems, and came home to just a lot of chaos. And then last night found myself binging on abstinent food and like out of nowhere, like just when I think I'm doing everything right, following the program, sponsoring, and I am like, yeah, it's because you're a compulsive overeater, that's what you do, and there's no resting on your laurels. And even though I didn't think I was, and I did a 10-step, and, you know, I was like, oh, you're worried about this, you got this going on, you have resentments here, and, you know, and still I'm learning, at least I'm trying to put in the effort to learn how to implement these steps into my life each and every day, and, yeah, I don't really know what to say, but this was a perfect reading for me. And I think I have to have an action plan for today and prioritize my day and see where God wants me to be. And that's in the moment, on a meeting, and breathing. First things first, you know. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura S. Eileen M., it's your turn, followed by Susan M.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And, yeah, there's a couple of things that come up for me also. I keep thinking about ego. Ego is edging God out. And also the mental blank spot. This is such a great example of that. You know, he's just getting more information about what does it mean to be powerless? Because on page 39, you know, at the bottom, it tells us that, you know, he could not even make the admission of powerlessness. He was convinced he could fix this and that he wasn't as bad as, you know, the others who were you know, the others in AA who were telling him about, you know, not in AA, but, you know, the others that were telling him their experience. But it's very humbling for him, I think. Yeah, the other thing, you know, I was thinking he goes about his business with the belief that, you know, since he's been successful in solving his other problems, he can handle this without help. I can relate to that having a perfect day, because I thought that I used to eat over circumstances, and I would overeat even when things were great, and I couldn't figure out why was that. You know, I was going to therapy for a while, and the therapist was telling me that, you know, I was just self-sabotaging myself, but I didn't really understand why. You know, and the other thing I was thinking of is self-sufficiency, and I can relate to that. And, you know, that is based on mistrust of other people and, you know, of course, of God. And it's, you know, about fear of letting go of control. And then lastly, I was thinking when people were sharing, all I kept thinking was the spiritual life is not a theory. You know, is that no external circumstance is going to keep me absent or person. So anyway, I'm so grateful to be reading this, and thank you, everyone, for your service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Susan M., it's your turn, followed by Linda G. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 40, the third paragraph, talking about where it starts with, in this frame of mind, through one paragraph ending, not a cloud on the horizon. So go ahead, Susan, followed by Linda G.
Hi, thank you so much, Susan M. from Florida, recovering compulsive overeater. And yeah, I read this and it just made me laugh because I can't trust my thoughts and feelings. It's like, yeah, everything can feel great and look great and everything's amazing, and I'm still a compulsive overeater. And then I can feel horrible, and oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? I can't do this. And I'm still a compulsive overeater. I still have to do my routine no matter what. I still have to wake up, do my prayer and meditation. I still have my food plan. I need to stick exercise plan, call my sponsor, work with a sponsee. I need to do the deal. And it's not based on my thoughts and feelings. And thank you, God, because I was all over the place. I was eating because I was happy. I was eating because I was upset. I was eating because I was tired. I was eating because I needed to stay awake. I mean, I found every last excuse. And thank you, God, you know, for today, that doesn't have to be the case. I just have a routine. I stick to it. And that's it. It keeps me abstinent. And, you know, thank you, God, it's been like that for a long time, for many years. And I don't have to base it on my thoughts and feelings. I take it like I take medication or anything else that a doctor prescribes, and it keeps me healthy. And I'm grateful for that. It's changed my life. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Susan M. from Florida. Linda G., it's your turn, followed by Vicki T., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Thank you so much for letting me share. And thank you to everyone who shared. I related to everything I heard. What hit me was a particular dry spell. I was in program before in the 80s for a couple of years. And then I got out, and my ego took over and ran the show. And my character defects just roared along. My grandiosity, my selfishness, my self-seeking, my fear. God, my fear. And, of course, it led to dry spells and binges and dry spells and binges and diet pills and fixing it with diets and then losing it and eating it all back on, plus, and then losing it and eating it all back on, plus. And it was this vicious circle, and I forgot all my program, totally forgot it, because the first time I did it, it was about getting thin. I thought it was spiritual, but it was about getting thin. And this time, it's about recognizing that if I don't have a spiritual life, I don't have anything. And that my body will follow my spiritual life. And I have to get abstinent to have a spiritual life work. Because if I'm in the food, I can't focus on anything. And I need to be focused. I need to get over these dry spells and have my spiritual life rule the roost. It can't be a dry spell anymore. It has to be the real thing. And no more diet pills. No more of any of that. It has to be for real this time for me to survive. I want a life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Linda G. from Alabama. Vicki T., it's your turn, and then I'll take some more names.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. My name is Vicki T., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And so what came up for me, I wasn't successful in handling any other problems. I was, for most of my life, pretty much didn't have many coping skills. And when he said that he was making too hard of this, I wasn't making too hard. I knew that this was what, like, I was in trouble, but I couldn't fix it, and neither could OA, actually, for a lot of years. It wasn't OA's fault, it was my fault, but I wasn't able to get the recovery that I needed. And that was all because I was missing the entire part of the program, which is the spiritual aspect. When you talked about the end of a perfect day, I relate to that so much because one of our really dear fellows talks about the buildup of human emotions. And for me, it's any emotion that is too high or too low, especially when things are tough and I feel relieved. It's that, let's see, the food does that same, you know? And that, in those kinds of places, it wouldn't have to be how far down I was. Any kind of hard to handle high and low would mean eating for me. It was all about that emotional aspect of it. You know, anything that is going to build up in my mind. But the difference for me now is that I don't get, I'm not saying 100%. Look, I have 10 steps to do. But more times than not, my equilibrium, like my inside, my whole nervous system has been completely rewired. Like God came in and he just put wires in different directions. I'm so much more calmer. I get triggered, but I'm able to pause. Like this morning, somebody was sharing something with me, and I was triggered. And I just, the whole time she was talking, I was praying, because otherwise I would have yelled at her. So, you know, the daily practice, like I'm giving a heads up, I can't think of the word, you know, good doing. I spend an hour with God every morning, and that daily prayer and that daily meditation has given me the effect of taking a Xanax every day without having to take the Xanax. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vicki T. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page 40, the third paragraph, starting with "In this frame of mind," through that one paragraph ending, "Not a cloud on the horizon." Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Joella in Waco.
Was there a Joella in there?
Did you hear Della Jean?
Okay, Della Jean. And who
Deb
else
F.
was in that?
Waco.
Deb F.
Jody
yes.
E.
Jody E.
Tony H.
Connie H. And who from Washington?
Shannon C.
Shannon C. Okay, very good. Let's stop there. Della Jean, Deb F., Jody E., Connie, and Shannon C. So, Della Jean, please go ahead and get us started.
Yes, I'm Della Jean M. from Idaho. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, trying to stay on my food plan while working toward a healthy body weight. Today is day 16 on my food plan. This is the longest, the most amount of days I've had in months and months and months. 16 days ago, I got a sponsor, and I've been on my food plan ever since. It's a vision for you, sponsor. And, you know, if something happens, I'll get another vision for you, sponsor. Hopefully nothing will, because I really, really like her. And I'm not struggling staying on my food plan. I'm 79, and I've been around 200 pounds for over 50 years. And I'm starting to have joint pain. And last night I was in pain all night from my left hip hurting really bad. And you know, you just can't be popping pain pills. You just can't do it. And so, you know, I was in pain all night. I got a heating pad on it and thought maybe that would help a little. I was able to get a doctor's appointment in the morning. But those, I've been, you know, at 50 years that I've been around 200 pounds, I didn't pay a physical price for my being overweight. You know, I'm paying it for now. The kind of pain I felt then was a emotional pain of having to be seen in public at that body size. And I would tire easy and stuff like that, but it wasn't in any joint pain. I have 7 degenerated discs in my back, and I'm sure that my overweight, maybe carrying things too heavy, have contributed to that. Makes me want to say to young people, because I came into OA the first time 46 years ago when I was in my 30s. And I just went in and out and in and out and never lost any weight until the last couple of years I've lost some weight. And I just want to say, oh, you don't know. You're not paying the price, the physical price now, but you will someday.
Time.
You know. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Della Jean, and congratulations on your day 16. Deb F., it's your turn, followed by Jody E.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for moderating. Moderator, and thank you for all the shares so far, and this is a really good passage. And what jumped out at me was there's not a cloud on the horizon, and it's like that stands for my expectations. You know, I think that I should have no problems. Or if I do have problems, oh, I need something to help me deal with it, right? And but, you know, being recovered now, I realize that I've got to do things like keep with the plan. You know, I have my food plan for a reason. I have my schedule for a reason. I have my disciplines for a reason. I do those and then work through the clouds, right? Work through the fog, work through all of that. And, you know, I had an assignment to do to work on my fears and to do two-way prayer about it last night. And I was just putting it off, and I'm going, by the time I did it, I go, why did I put this off? Because it just gave me the peace and rest that I needed. And, you know, just having that constant contact with my higher power is what's needed, especially on a good day or a bad day, you know, because if I get going in myself, just like all of you were talking about, then game over, you know. I just want to say that this time around, recommitted abstinence, I prayed for the sponsor that God wanted me to have instead of, you know, well, I've got to have the perfect sponsor and she's got to do this and she's got to do that, da, 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 all my expectations, right? Instead, it's, no, the sponsor that God wants me to have. So, and also, you know, I need to show up as God wants me to show up. It's not like, oh, coddle Deb. You know, it's let's look at the truth and let's face facts. And we're going to do that without the extra food, without the anesthetization, because I have my higher power who is all-loving and extends his grace to me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Deb F. from Washington. Jody E., it's your turn, followed by Connie. And please give me your initial, Connie, when you share.
Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. And yes, I can understand now, today, how Fred was feeling. You know, why in the world did I pick up when everything was going so well? You know, I have everything I thought I wanted. And remember, I had a husband, I had a house, I had a child, all the things that I thought I wanted. And yet I was more depressed and more compulsive with the food than ever. And I was baffled. I didn't understand. I thought I might end up taking my own life at some point. And, you know, I had an intervention. I had an intervention by my higher power. He got me into these rooms. But I was in my late 20s. And I didn't pick up all the spiritual tools that I could have and that I might have. And I did not fully recover until I started joining this meeting, where I joined a group of people who were abstaining entirely and working the steps as they're outlined in the big book. And this has been so very, very helpful for me. I am a real compulsive overeater, though I never looked like one. When I came into my first OA meeting, my weight was just about right. I had figured out how to trick my body, really, into losing weight. And as a result of all of that fasting and restricting that I did, I have osteoporosis today. So yes, we anorexic bulimic types also have consequences for our trying to manage and control this disease. I can't manage this disease. Only a higher power can manage it for me. So I submit my higher power. I offer myself to my higher power on a daily basis and pray for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. I've stopped praying for my own selfish needs and desires. And with that, I pass, and I thank everyone for your service.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Connie, it's your turn to share, followed by Shannon C.
Hi, I think this is for me. My name is Tony, T-O-N-I-H, and I'm from Connecticut. Thank you very much for your lead, and I just love this meeting, this reading, and the shares that have gone on already. I'm just going to pick out one line in this reading that just jumped out at me, and that's, I began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work of a simple matter. And, you know, that's been me for a long time. And, you know, points out to me my arrogance and grandiosity, and, you know, the spirit of grandiosity, just because I kept, for a long time, believing like, okay, I can work this out or you know, whatever. And some of that is because, like has been mentioned, you know, I was heavier for a while and I had lost a bunch of weight. But like had been mentioned, you know, I got stuck at 200 pounds. I couldn't lose more than that, and if I did lose more than that, I would immediately gain it back. And this program is the only thing that's been able to help me, like, break that threshold. Another thing is that, as was mentioned, this is also day 16 of abstinence for me. And just being conscious and aware that I could get through, for me, it was getting through the weekend without, you know, eating something that was off my food plan. And I've been able to, like, stick to my food plan. And I call it talking back to my cravings, to my disease when it tries to pop up. And that's just been, it's just been very helpful. And I just love this meeting, and I love the shares, and listening to so much stuff that I can relate to so well. So thank you all for letting me share, and hope you have a great day.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony H. from Connecticut. Sharon C., it's your turn to share, and then I'll take another name probably.
Hello, this is Shannon C. from Washington State, and I haven't shared in this meeting before. I don't know quite what to say, except I feel led to share right now. I have 6 months right now, although I have this feeling of like imposter syndrome where I'm like, no, that's no way I have 6 months of, I guess, imperfect abstinence, and gave my ninth step recently, and it was a big one. And since giving it, I've felt like focusing on controlling the food again and going like, why can't I get this right? Why can't I get this right? And forgetting that it's focusing on the action plan, the steps, the prayer, meditation, making the calls and all that, and letting the food go. And I think that's about all I have to say. I'll go ahead and pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shannon C. from Washington State. And I'll now take the name of someone who would like to share on this paragraph, maybe a couple
Judith
names.
Judith R.
Annabelle Z.
Judith R. and Annabelle Z. Go ahead and take a couple two-minute shares, if you would, please.
Thank you so much, moderator. This is Judith R. in Vermont, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. This just reminds me so much of myself, because I was the kind, my pattern was I could be fine with the food for a month, and then I would binge, and then I wouldn't binge for a week. And I never knew. I always knew there was another binge around the corner. I just didn't know when it was going to come. And when I would be in one of those phases, I would start thinking, I can't remember why I made such a big deal out of that whole food thing. It's not so life threatening. And then I would binge, and I would remember only too well. The pleasure was 9 seconds, and the self-hatred would just come down like a thunder and lightning. And I would remember, and then I would forget until OA popped into my life, for which I am ever grateful. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Judith R. Annabelle Z., it's your turn to share.
Thank you so much. My name is Annabelle V. I'm from Washington State, recovering compulsive overeater. And thank you, everyone, for amazing shares. One thing that popped into my mind on this reading was about how he had kind of this perfect day. And I really relate to the reason why is because it was just like he had been successful and others had given him accolades for it. And so when I have a successful, happy, wonderful, perfect day, but it has to do with my accomplishment and how other people saw me as great, that's a big danger. Because I can have really great, perfect days because I'm in such close relationship with my higher power, and I followed all of the promptings from the spirit, and that to me today is a perfect day, and I don't eat over that. I will eat though over the emotion of the supposed perfect day because everybody loves me and I accomplished so much. So I really related to that as the reason of what in my past that was like my goal was to just look great, achieve, and look at everybody look at me. Didn't I do great? And now the goal for me is to follow my higher power's will. It's just that it's more like peace rather than happiness. That's my goal today, and I'm having more of those days. So thank you. That's all I have, and I appreciate your service.
Thank you so much, Annabelle Z. And we actually have time for another couple-minute share if someone would like to take that and who hasn't shared in the last couple days.
Could you, Jody E. from California, spells Jody.
What was your first name? I'm sorry?
Linda G.
Linda G. Go ahead, Linda.
I already shared. I wanted to know how Jody E. spells her name.
You know what? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. But we do have time for another share. I apologize. I don't know. But would someone else like to take a couple-minute share?
Kamala C.
Pamela C. Go ahead, please. We got Pamela C. Go ahead, Pamela.
Hi, Pamela C. from California, compulsive overeater. Just wanted to just claim my seat today. I haven't been able to share for a while. I usually listen while I'm getting ready for work, and then. But anyway, I'm glad to have heard most of the shares today that I got to hear. And right now, I'm sort of I'm definitely not abstinent, but I still listen. And I'm just still, you know, I still have hope that one day I too can get this. I've tried a couple of times and was successful in the very beginning, two weeks. But, you know, my laziness and my lack of, you know, reaching out to my higher power when the food gets in the way is a big problem for me. And I think mostly it's the laziness and the unwillingness. But again, I know that there's hope. There's hope for me and there's hope for everybody out there that struggles with this. It's not about the food. It's about my spiritual malady. So, thank you everybody so much. Thank you for your service. And I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Pamela C. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Eileen M., recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.